fourth book of the New Testament. It's page 898 in my Bible. I don't know if that's helpful to you or not, but John chapter 4, we're starting in verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. John who? John the Baptist. Although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. By the way, this verse proves that just the pastor isn't the only one who can baptize. Okay? A lot of people ask me, you have to baptize? No, you can do it. You're Christian? Yeah, you can do it. Verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. Jesus chose to go through Samaria. Let's remember this. Samaria was a place Jews did not go. Samaria is north of Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee. That area is Samaria, and the Samaritans lived there. They were half-breed Jews and a mixture of everything else. They intermarried with other religions that God told them not to do. So the Jews and the Samaritans don't mix. Jesus is not afraid to go into other areas. John 1:5. He is the light. The light shines in the darkness, even though the darkness does not comprehend it, or the darkness does not want it there. Know this, light isn't stopped by darkness. Jesus ran into the darkness. He went into all other Jews. You know where they go when they go up to Sea of Galilee? They go around, they follow the Jordan River. They go around Samaria. They don't even go into it. Jesus went right into Samaria. He's the light. He went into the darkness. Verse 5, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, and near a plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was the sixth hour. Sixth hour means what time? Noon. It's a hot afternoon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, which gives us a clue here, why is she coming at noon? Nobody else. Women come early in the morning when it's cool to get the water. She's a woman who isn't accepted by other women. Okay, and we find out why, because she's had a number of husbands, and other women didn't accept her. Anyway, so he's there. She came to draw water, verse 7. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now here's something else very important. Jesus has what she needs. She doesn't know that yet. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you need something but you didn't know you needed it? Until someone came and told you you needed it and explained to you why you need it, and then you go, oh, okay. Well, that's where Jesus is at with this woman, and he goes and he needs something from her. A drink of water. I've been really mulling this over with God because I want God to really understand this. yeah, right. When you go into an unfamiliar place, and let's connect this thought now to unexpected love, giving unexpected love. When you go into an unfamiliar place, which may be your neighbor next door, go needing something from them. Here's what this does for us. We can go to a place that needs the light of the sun, Jesus, and go like this. I've got a red S on my chest. I'm your savior. Here I come. I'm everything you need. Let me save you. Not that we would go really with that kind of brash attitude, but it can be picked up. if we go with, I'm here to give you something you need. I don't need anything from you. Would you pick up on that if somebody came to you with that attitude? Yeah, we would pick up on it sooner or later. Jesus went into the darkness, into the well where a woman was drawing water in the heat of the day and said, I need something from you. Wow. As Bob and I go to Haiti, we're asking God, help us learn more and more of what it is we need from the Haitians. If you were to ask that question right now, so let's say all of you are going to Haiti with us, what's your answer to that question? What do we need from the Haitians? How would you answer that question? Well, one thing for sure we need is fellowship. We need them. We need the non-believer and the believer in Haiti to have fellowship with us, and we with them. And when you go to your neighbor where there might be darkness, you need something from them too. Fellowship. One-to-one, honest, give-and-take type of relationship. We can see the woman's brain. She's going, what? Verse 8, Jesus' disciples gone into town to buy food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, wait, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman? This is not supposed to happen. Not during the day. Men don't talk to women in the day, not in public anyway. And I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew? That's a double no-no. And here you are asking me for a drink of water? He has her attention. Unexpected love. You want to get someone's attention? Go to your neighbor's house and give them a plate of cookies. They're not expecting that from you, are they? They're not expecting that from you. And when you give it, they're going to go, wow, that was so cool. And you know what? You know what that was so cool means? I like this interchange, this exchange we just had. You've just opened a door. It's that simple. You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. Now he's taking piquing her interest to a new level. Not only you've asked me for a drink. Wow, I want to know more about that. Now he's talking about living water. Living water. Well, to a Jew, living water means running water, not still water like out of a well, but running water. Well, where? I don't see any. This is the desert. Did you know that, Jesus? There's no running water around here. What do you mean by living water? See how Jesus uses a common interest, water, and a common need to pique her interest. Verse 11, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Typically, when the Jews traveled, they would take a leather pouch that had a couple of sticks on the mouth of it on each side and a little strap, and they could lower that bag down into the water and pull it back out. And when they were done with it, they would just roll it up and stick it back in their fanny pack and whatever their bag and keep on going. So they had something like sheep, but she says, you don't have one of those pouches to dip water with. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and the flocks and the herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now he takes her interest in water to a third level of interest. not as just living water, but this is living water that never lets me be thirsty again? Jesus, what are you talking about? Taking normal, everyday object things, lessons, object lessons we could call them, teachable moments, and use them to pique someone's interest. The woman said to him, "Sir," this is verse 15, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." What does she not understand? She's still thinking physical water. Jesus is talking spiritual water. He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "Well, I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true, woman. You're true. You're right. You don't have a husband." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem." The Samaritans had that mountain, I forget the name of the mountain, where they worshiped. And she rightly says, "You worship in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. You worship there. We worship here, you worship there." And Jesus says this, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Because God brought salvation through the nation of the Jews. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." Excuse me. "For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." Not just physical, spirit, spiritual. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, reference to God's reality here. Steve prayed about God being here with us. And so here we are. God is with us in this moment. Okay? Now, do you feel safe right in here, right now, in this moment? You feel safe? You're in your usual place that you sit. Because it's a safe place. You know that place. I did this one time years ago here. I asked everybody to sit in a different place. And a number of people said, "Don't do that again." Because it made them uncomfortable. In your own church building, you know, we're so easily made uncomfortable. But here is the truth. The kingdom of God is here. God is with us. Wherever we go, he's already there. We're going to Haiti, he's already there. And compassion is the motivator of going anywhere for Christ. Compassion. Let's say this. Let me ask you a question. I'll say it this way. Is compassion a decision or a feeling? Yes. That's correct. It's a decision and a feeling. Which comes first? The decision. Feelings follow. Okay. Too often, can I say this? Don't tar and feather me. Christians get that backwards. If I don't feel sorry or feel a desire to go help someone else, if I don't feel that, then I don't go. Compassion is a decision, just like love is a decision first. When you made your vows with your spouse, that was a decision. No matter what comes down the road, honey, you and I will always be together. That's a decision. And some days are rough. But the foundational statement was already there, no matter what happens. Well, that's what God is saying to us. No matter what happens, wherever you go, I'm already there with you. I'm never leaving you. I'm never forsaking you. Hallelujah! God is good. So, as Bob and I thank you so very, very much for your gracious giving, you've raised about $3,000. Oh, that doesn't count the $15 I stood at the can machine putting cans that you brought too. And so $3,015 you actually, it went pretty fast. It was kind of fun. I know, it doesn't take much to entertain me. So we're going. Don't know what's... We know that we're going to be going to orphanages, doing medical clinics, perhaps a prison. We're going out into the community. As you saw the picture of the water filter, we're going to go into a community. As Cindy told us about this, Sean and Cindy told us about this, when they went to Nicaragua, they're going to find a person or a family who's willing to share clean water. That's going to become a hub house in the community, if you will, and they will share clean water with those around them. We don't have enough water filters to give to every home, so we're going to share it that way. So this is exciting stuff. How many of you like putting yourself in a position where you're not in control? Judy does. Cindy does. Okay? Several of you who've been on the mission field or just went next door, you're willing to do that. You put your, yeah, as teachers, yeah, you put yourself in positions where you're not in control. This is a big time thing for us. We're going to go, and whatever is. And God help us to just always say yes to you, Lord, no matter what's in front of us in the moment. Amen? Amen. We're going to ask you to pray. Unless there's anything else, Mom? Could you come up for